back here on The Word with G27 past the hour of 1 o'clock. We're with you until 2. Greg Leonard here, you there. It is time for us to do a little Vol Talk Thursday with the man, the myth, the legend, the man with the plan, the graduate of UT, and of course, a Rocky Top insider. Put your hands together for Mr. Ryan Shumpert right here on The Word with G. Rye, welcome back. Good to have you as always and ready to talk a little Vols. We'll get into some basketball, get into some football as well. And as I told you off the air, this is our last show for 2023 because I won't be here next Thursday. So we're going to get into a little bowl prep as well. We'll talk a little Iowa here as well. I hope you're well-versed and ready to talk Iowa Hawkeyes football.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on as always. And I know enough about Iowa by now. I had a couple weeks, so got them relatively figured out. Though, you know, to be honest, Iowa's not the hardest scout in the world when you start talking about what their strengths and weaknesses are.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Before we go into that, it was National Signing Day yesterday, and just want to get your thoughts on the signing class, where they rank in terms of their composite ranking there on 24/7 Sports. They're currently 13th right now. Give me your thoughts on the signing class and everybody that they brought in, and was there anything surprising to you that happened yesterday?
There was really no surprises as it relates to Tennessee on signing day. Now, there were some other spots across the country, but pretty drama-free for Tennessee, and I think there's a lot to like about the class as a whole. I like what they did along the offensive line. I think it's the best offensive line class they've signed since Josh Heupel and Glenn Ellerbe have been at Tennessee, and I think you talk about they signed 21 kids, and two of those guys they added late is kind of some lower-rated recruits, one of them being a junior college guy, another one being a prep guy from California. And especially when you take those guys out of it, it's a good class in the sense of, you know, average star ranking. It's a smaller class, but the guys they signed were pretty good, and, you know, the blue-chip ratio, which is always a big thing, number percentage of 4 and 5 stars, I think Tennessee was around 63%, so I think there's a lot to like about it. Obviously, the last, I don't know, 4 months, they did not close very well recruiting-wise on the end of this class. I mean, it was really an all-time kind of cold streak. But besides that, you know, I think there's a lot to like. It's not an elite class by any means, but certainly a solid one.
Who's your favorite player from this signing class?
I think Mike Matthews is just an easy one. He's the highest-rated guy, really was a great two-way player down at Parkview in the Atlanta area. But two guys that I would say from a more under the radar, guys that don't get talked about as much, Bennett Warren, the offensive tackle from right outside of the Houston area, suburbs of Houston and Texas, to me was a huge get. He's one of the 10 best offensive tackles in the country. That, again, is a spot Tennessee has struggled to recruit, and Tennessee went in and landed him over Texas A&M, which is obviously the local school in Oklahoma and Michigan. So I like him a ton, a guy I don't think people talk about a ton in this class. And then Peyton Lewis is another one, running back from Virginia, another 4-star recruit where I see a lot of similarities to him and Jalen Wright when Jalen Wright was in high school, and that this is a guy that is really a track star, is known more in high school for his speed, put up massive numbers in his senior season at Salem High School in Virginia. But he's got a big frame, you know, 6'1" frame. I think when he gets to Tennessee and can add some weight and truly develop as a between the tackles runner, his ceiling is super, super high.
Again, we're hanging out with Ryan Shumpert here on a Vol Talk Thursday. He's our Rocky Top insider. Anything interesting or intriguing? I know Josh Heupel's not the big rah-rah, you know, press conference guy, but was there anything interesting that he said yesterday in his press conference after National Signing Day?
Well, I think it was kind of a standard answer, but just the fact that they're kind of continuing to look at everybody in the portal and continuing to examine that. Tennessee signed 3 portal guys yesterday. They've landed 3 commits to date, but, you know, I think that's probably maybe half of what they'll sign. I think it'll end up being, you know, 6+. And he talked about how last year they added a handful of guys even after the bowl game. So just a reminder of the timetable, you know, obviously it very much gets shrunk, and there's been tons of talk the last few weeks about the portal, but Tennessee will be a little more methodical with it and continue to evaluate guys. And he also talked about, you know, he was asked about wanting to add a quarterback, and he kind of gave an answer somewhat similar. And then it was a follow-up question of, you know, is it hard trying to find quarterbacks in the portal when you already have a guy like Nico, who's kind of the presumed starter? And he just very blunt and to the point was just like, yes, it is. It's very difficult. So That will be a continued thing to keep an eye on, as Tennessee almost kind of looks for a very specific guy in the portal as a quarterback, being kind of a veteran that is content to be a backup and maybe come in and learn Josh Heupel's offense and want to get into coaching. So not a ton super interesting. He did also harp on what the importance of the in-state class into 2025 for this next cycle will be. A lot of highly rated guys, George McIntyre at Brentwood Academy, the quarterback they're going at hard after, and then the Sparks kid down at Baylor in y'all's neck of the woods too, are two guys that I know they're targeting really hard, and I think there's going to be a bunch of others. 24 was a little bit of a down class in the state of Tennessee, and 25 is kind of back up to really what the higher standard has been in the state of Tennessee for, I don't know, the last 5 years or so.
All right, let's talk a little bit about these portal guys. There was a couple of guys that they brought in. Last time we talked last week, it was kind of like, all right, are we panicking because they haven't really done anything in the portal yet? They've made some moves, safety, cornerback, you know, you got a tight end as well, I believe. And so talk to me a little bit about some of these guys and what we should be excited or what kind of impact you expect them to have in this upcoming season.
Well, definitely for Holden Stays, he's Notre Dame tight end committed. Last Friday, that was a guy that I think I even mentioned Tennessee was targeting, kind of waiting word from him. And, you know, that was a big get. He's the number one tight end in the portal, according to 247 Sports. He was visited Washington and Georgia, was going to visit Oklahoma, but canceled that visit when he went to Tennessee. I think him and Ethan Davis, who was a true freshman tight end this year, will combine to be kind of those co-starters at tight end like we've seen really throughout the Josh Heupel era with Jacob Warren and Prince Fant the first 2 years, and then Jacob Warren and McCollin Castles this past season. I think it'll be Ethan Davis and Holden Stays next year, so he's a guy that's going to play a ton. And then the Jermaud McCoy, the corner at Oregon State, to me is my favorite get they've gotten so far. He was a true freshman this past year, so 3 years of eligibility remaining. Will have to play at least two more years before he can declare for the NFL draft. Was a really solid starter this season for Oregon State. Not a stud, but again, a starter and consistently pretty solid. I think the PFF grades he graded out lower than Danico Slaughter and Gabe Judy Lawley, but only slightly lower than Gabe Judy Lawley than higher than any other Tennessee corner. And again, just like Stays, you look at the guys that got him over Washington, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. He had 20-plus offers from Power 5 schools. You know, just about everybody in the portal was recruiting him. And, you know, I think it can be easy to say, well, it's just a kid from Oregon State. You know, Oregon State's not a big brand team. Well, Pac-12 was the best quarterback and passing league in the country last year. Which
damn right.
Certainly a whole lot better than the SEC was when you talk about the quarterbacks he played. And he had some bad games against kind of the teams you'd expect. I think Oregon and Washington were his two worst of the season. But he held his own and continued to get better. So I'm really high on him. He's my favorite get. Jacoby Thomas is the last guy to safety from MTSU, who, you know, ironically was committed to Oregon State in the portal. A kid from Tullahoma, in the state. And played a lot of football at MTSU. And certainly when you kind of look at where things stand with Tennessee's roster right now, obviously it's not all set for next season. But as we start to get a clearer picture, I think safety is probably the weakest point on the roster. So good to get another guy there that has some starting experience. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Tennessee add a few more guys in the defensive backfield from the portal. And really, I think, you know, somewhat imminently, Chris Brazell, the receiver from Tulane, who had a huge season this past year, over 700 yards. Tennessee's right in the thick of it for him. And he's a guy that seems like is going to make his decision sometime in the next few days. So he's one to keep an eye on for now. But kind of like I said at the start, or maybe last answer, Tennessee's going to continue to evaluate guys, and I think add a handful of more guys by the time they return to school in late January.
Chopping it up Rocky Top style with our man Ryan Shumpert here on The Word with G. Let's go over to Iowa, because again, this is our last show. We won't talk before, at least on the air, we won't talk before the bowl game commences. So talk to me a little bit about what you know about this Iowa Hawkeyes team. I think what the general consensus is, pretty darn good on defense, not so much on the offensive side of things. They rank 130th in the nation in terms of passing yards, rush yards. They're 109th, so they don't run the ball that well. They don't score a whole lot of points, just 16.5. But again, their defense is fourth. They only allow 13 points per game. So give me the rundown on who are the guys that we need to watch out for Iowa, what this game kind of might look like, if it's going to be kind of mucky a little bit. But talk to me a little bit about the rundown of this matchup with Iowa.
Well, it's kind of a typical Iowa team. They offensively, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, very bad, you know, bottom five in in points per game this season in the FBS. I think they were the fourth lowest team in passing yards per game. The three teams under them were Army, Navy, and Air Force, so the three military academies. Not a team that moves the ball very well, not a team that's good offensively, a team that punts the ball extremely well. And you kind of say that almost as a joke, but Torrey Taylor was the Ray Guy Award winner and another Australian-style punter. So he's really good, and when you look at the offense, it kind of, you know, what's Iowa known for offensively? Typically running the ball well, but also tight end play. Their best receiver, their best pass catcher was a tight end. Eric Hall had just under 300 yards and three touchdowns. Luke Leachy, who was supposed to be their best tight end going into the season, he had 130 yards in the first three games, or really got hurt in that third game. There had been prior some optimism from the Hawkeyes that he would play in the bowl game. He's not going to, so those are kind of the guys offensively. There's really no true bell cow running back. A bunch of different guys get a bunch of different carries, and so there's really no stars on the offense. And yeah, you said it, good defensively. And, you know, you go back to Tennessee played Iowa in, I guess, the 2015 Gator Bowl, what would have been after the 2014 season, and Tennessee was up 28-0 by the end of the first quarter because their speed just killed them. Well, Tennessee, the way they throw the ball this year and how really just poor they've been doing that, and the fact that their running game is very much a between the tackles running game, you know, I don't think it's as simple as Tennessee's speed is just going to be able to give Iowa's defense a lot of issues. So those are the things that I'm looking at. There's a reason the game's over under is, you know, right at about 35 points. Not expected to be a very offensively minded game. And this is, you know, like any game that you expect to be low scoring, that's one game where the margins are going to be small. Turnovers are going to be a big deal. And certainly Tennessee needs to be able to take care of the football and stop the running game and try to find some chunk plays, because I think driving the ball on this Iowa team is going to be a struggle.
Again, we're hanging out with Ryan Chumpert here on The Word with G. Going to be a little bit of a slog, going to be a little bit of a struggle here. When you look at Tennessee's team, what do you think might be an X factor in this game if they do go on to win this one?
That's a good question. You know, I would say a guy like Squirrel White, because he is one of the guys on the perimeter that has speed and can really take the top off the defense. And, you know, I'd look at Dylan Sampson too. Jalen Wright's not going to play in this game, so it's going to be a lot of more run for Dylan Sampson. And he is a guy that, while he doesn't, you know, just between the tackles play in, play out as good as Jalen Wright, has the same level of big play capability from the running back spot. So those are two guys that I would look at. And then, you know, Joe Milton is going to play in this game, but there's been some buzz that Nico Iamaleava might get some run in the first half. They might kind of alternate some series or something like that. So obviously Nico will be a guy that all eyes will be on, certainly, you know, one way or the other if Tennessee wins and he gets some real playing time and meaningful moments of this game.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about Nico, so I'm glad that you answered that one. Let's talk a little bit before we go over to the basketball. Talk to me a little bit about this game, and from a betting perspective, I always like to ask you about that in terms of the over-under, the line, all that stuff in terms of where this game is. I know we already talked about kind of both sides and whatnot. So what do you like on this game in terms of the line, the over-under, all that good stuff?
Man, it's a tough one. It's just hard to have a too much of a feel for it just because of kind of the swap that it's supposed to be. You know, I would maybe lean Iowa just from getting a full, you know, touchdown plus at the half point, just kind of the conservative bet on a game that I don't really have a great feel for. I would lean towards the over too on the over under just because that number is so low. And I think, you know, a couple of turnovers really could add to some easy points and put some pressure on that. And though, even though Tennessee's offense hasn't been entirely explosive this year, I do think it has the capability to have some big plays and to have some long scoring plays. And, you know, that's the thing about Iowa. They're funny in the sense that they lost three games all year. One of them was to Minnesota. The other two, they got absolutely blown out in, and they just won every other close game. But you look at the schedule and you look at the teams they beat these low-scoring close games, and I just do think Tennessee has, even though they have not been very explosive offensively and they have not been a great offensive team this year, when you're talking about the Purdues, the Michigan States, the Rutgers, Illinois, Nebraska's of the world, I do think this Tennessee offense is better than those teams that Iowa's kind of grinded into low-scoring games and low-scoring wins all season. So that kind of makes me think the over. And maybe those two things contradict themselves, Iowa and the over. But 7.5 points is just a lot of points in a game that I don't really feel like I have a great feel for.
Yeah, I'm seeing right now in terms of on ESPN, they've got, and I just couldn't find the line before, the computer was going a little slow, but Tennessee -8.5 and the over-under 36.5. So that is kind of what the line looks like right now. Let's go over to basketball real quick. Talk to me a little bit about the bounce back for some of the veteran players, most notably Josiah Jordan-James, who had a really nice game against NC State. And they come out and they win that game, and they kind of get after him a little bit in the second half there. They win 79-70. Talk to me a little bit about this game and bouncing back. And it wasn't a great game from Adu or Connect, but they found some scoring and they found a way to beat a decent NC State team.
You hit the nail on the head with, Dalton Connect was really bad. I mean, that was definitively and by a long shot the worst game he's played this season. Really struggled in Jonas Adu, who's Tennessee's second leading scorer. Really struggled in this game, too, though he was sick and he didn't practice the day before. So I think that might have had a little bit to do with it and is a somewhat legitimate excuse for him not playing as well. But where he struggled, Josiah Jordan-James and Zakai Ziegler really picked him up. Josiah Jordan-James went for a career-high 23 points, 5-7 from three, grabbed 7 rebounds, was really solid, and it felt like a lot of shots he hit were really timely, too, when in the second half, Tennessee kind of expanded it out to double digits. The North Carolina State made a big run. They tied the game at one point, and it felt like James hit some big shots in those moments. And then was Zakai Ziegler, a guy that continues to look more and more like himself pre-ACL injury last year. And it felt like he was continuing to do that. He's continued to be better in recent weeks. That was definitely the best game he's played all season. 20 points, 8 assists. Was just really, really solid, did everything he always does in the defensive end and played well in the offensive end. So those guys picked Tennessee up and picked Connect and Jonas Adu up. I would also say Jemai Meshack and Tobe Awaka, less from the scoring marks, but what they did on the glass and on the defensive end, I thought both those guys were really good too. So we talked about it a little bit last week with the consistency being an issue for Tennessee, and we continue to kind of see that where all 5 of Tennessee's starters have scored 20 points in the game this year, and Tennessee has a lot of dudes that can go out there and carry them on any given night offensively, but it just doesn't feel like they have anybody that is going to go out there and give you a baseline of 15 points a night. And it kind of felt like Dalton Connect was that earlier in the season, but he's shown some issues there of late, certainly in the North Carolina State game. So Tennessee finding that will be important because what they have right now is kind of a recipe for a team that can make a really deep run in March, who has a bunch of different answers. And you can't just game plan to take one guy away, but it also is a formula for a team that can have an early exit if everybody goes cold on the same night.
That it can. And the next couple of games, as we kind of finish up the year, it'll be Tarleton State tonight at 6:30, and then you've got Norfolk State coming up on January 2nd. So the next time we talk, it will be getting ready for SEC play against Ole Miss. Ryan Shumpert, again, has been our guest. Get all of his great content over at the RockyTopInsider.com. Check him out in the Rocky Top Insider podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, get him on Twitter at rshump00. Rye, appreciate the time as always. Have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, a Happy New Year as well. And we will talk to you in 2024, my friend.
Appreciate it, G. You have a good Christmas with your family, and I'll talk to you on the other side of it.
Sounds good, buddy. There he goes, Ryan Shumpert, right here on The Word with G.